Hey, this is Zen Perry. Thanks for listening to the Zen Perry Project. I have a few requests of you before we get into the show. First is go to Zen Perry Project, Zenperry Project on Instagram. Give us a follow. Second is make sure you follow and turn on notifications for our episodes wherever you listen to the Zen Perry Project. And third is share the show with somebody. Maybe send them an episode they'd be interested in. Without further ado, here's the show. Thanks for listening.
Wow, that was like some Gran Turismo shit. Like,
yeah, get ready to go.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. We're doing it. Mm-hmm. We're fucking doing it. And we're all awake. We're all alive here. We're back. We're back on the fucking show. Woo! Doing a whole goddamn podcast again. It's been a fucking second.
Yes.
How long?
Oh, man. It's been, I guess, three and a half weeks.
Yeah.
Since last episode. Which is fine. It's been a fucking wild ride being in New York City, and I've just wanted to create rather than be the person that talks about people who create. But now we're doing both right now at the same fucking time,
and we get to do a podcast with the homies.
Yeah, who we have on the show today? We have Trevor. I don't know your last name, but I would love to know it.
Trevor J. Let's go, Trevor J.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. Bob Thorne, a.k.a. FK, formerly known as
Trevor J.
Sorry, how do you end up in New York City? Why are you in New York City right now?
NFT NYC. Which NFT, crypto shit going on. Had a couple photos showing in a couple galleries. And slid out here to do that. Actually, so let me tell you. I wasn't going to come out here. I might as well be guys this. But flying out from NFT NYC last June, engine on my plane went out, and I thought we were gonna die.
Yeah, you told me about this.
So I'm listening to my headphones just on the plane, and like I knew we had a lot of flight time to go. And all of a sudden, I turn on the lights, the fucking people are scrambling and shit. And I take off my headphones, I look to the cat next to me, I'm like, yo, did we just say, like, are we landing?
He's like, you're like, we're crashing.
Yeah, we're landing. And I was like, you know that we got like hours to go on this flight, right? And they were being like super sus about it, you know? They didn't want to I'm sure they didn't want to tell anybody what was going on because people started freaking out. Mm-hmm. But first thing I did was like take out the fucking pamphlet right in front of me and was just like learning how to like brace yourself if you're going to crash. And I was already accepting. I was like, yo, if we're going down, we're going down. And this is how it ends. But anyways, I had a discount to use for a flight and shit, and I hadn't flown since. So NFT NYC was popping up and I was like getting mad FOMO, and I looked up to see how much it would cost me to get a round trip. Only $200. So I was like, yo, I'll spend that. I spent way more than that in a day out here. So that's in a weekend in LA,
yeah.
You know, I was like, yeah. I might as well just go out to New York. So yeah, so I'm doing out here. Save the extra few days, kick it with you homies.
It's been a solid, like, you've been here for not even a week yet. And you've had an entire fucking, like, feature length full film.
It's been a
movie, life happen.
Yeah,
like you've had a different fucking life.
Last night alone was I'm a drummer, by the way.
No, bad next to you.
I'm out here.
Like,
I got a show tonight, you know what I mean? Going to bash some heads in. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm
here. What happened last night?
Last night, kicked it with you guys, got wasted.
We did a lot of photography, right? What else did we do?
Ton of photography. Just fucking walked around. Did we go to a bar? We went to a bar. Yeah, I got some tall cans, some fucking White Claws. Just fucking did the whole thing. Took some photos in Chinatown. Got some Chinese food.
It's supposed to be a photo trip for me out here, but it hasn't really been. I guess I'll see later. I've been shooting a lot more digital. The first roll of film, though, my first day here, I shot a roll of film. Fire. Super fire. I was super stoked on it. But yeah, I guess we'll see how the photos come out.
Your first roll of film was fucking epic. That dude sitting, like squatting down, smoking a cigarette embodies what I think of when I think of like Chinatown, New York. Or like,
It's a pretty typical like photo situation, honestly, but with the 15 mil and like the way it looked, like maybe we can like plug it in right here or something, but the way that it looked is just like, I don't know, it was tight. I liked it.
Yeah.
I also haven't been shooting films lately, so just to see like the tones of that shit and the Porsche 400 pushed, it just like, to me, I was like, man, fuck, I'm kind of slipping up on that, but it's too expensive. I'm not a rich motherfucker. I can't justify shooting film right now, you know? Fuck.
So,
But you have been.
Have been what?
You have been shooting film.
For the last few days, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for the last few days. What are you shooting right now? What are you shooting on?
Okay, so I went got an adapter to put my 15 millimeter lens, which is wide as shit, on my digital camera. So I still have a half a roll sitting in my Besta that I haven't finished. I've just been shooting my stylus, which I had on Stylus Infinity fucking point and shoot.
We're gonna plug the photo favorite shit of your camera broken.
Yeah, so I dropped it last night.
But it's okay.
I hope it's okay. I mean, I hope
you shot a little bit fine today. Yeah.
Yeah, but low key, it's not shooting. Like it takes like it sucks because I went out painting last night and I had to show. I was like trying to take photos of painting and I had to, wait, hold up, one more time, and I'm like shoving it closed and shoving it back open to like, you know, because it resets and that's when the lens comes up, and like trying to shoot it and it won't shoot. I don't know if it's having a problem focusing. Yeah. Probably is. I put that thing to hell.
Yeah. Though, I mean, as know, it's like, supposed to be used for, it's like a fucking little pocket camera.
You yeah. Like, it's got a Band-Aid on it right yeah. now, which is like, to me, yeah. it's like, all right, that, I feel like that's how it's supposed to look.
It's like masking tape. Yeah. It's fucking, it gives it character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got some bruises.
And this camera, by the way, you were talking about earlier, was basically, back in the day, was pretty fucking cheap. What does it usually run for right now? You got it for a better price, but what does it usually run for right now?
I mean, for now, they're still kind of cheap, but like $300, which is not what it should be. No, but I think I was telling you guys this. The way the photos come out for me, honestly, like they're so crisp. I love them. And when I see those photos, I'm like, yeah, $300. I would pay $300 for that camera right now. Yeah. Just because it's like, it's lasted me so long. I put it to hell. It's built like a piece of shit, but it like, you can throw a piece of shit on the ground and it'll still be a piece of shit. And it works. No,
as long as it's
still, right, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is like kind of like a fucking camera that people would buy for their like family vacations on their cruise ship back when it was first made. What do you think people originally bought it for?
I don't know. Shoot their family and shit,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now it's like a fucking, it's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, now this point and shoot, all point and shoots. Like, okay, so I was with a guy the other day. There's a spot in Soho, I think it's called the Color House. I could be wrong. But they got a lot of cameras that are expensive and they shouldn't be. And this
put on blast. No,
cat was like fucking up the point and shoot, and I was like, where'd you get that? And he was like, oh, I just got it right now in the Color House. I was like, how much did you pay? And it was a Canon sure shot.
Yeah.
He's like, $200. And I was like, no, you're tripping. Honestly, though, I haven't been paying attention. It could be a $200 camera now, but, like, I don't know. I wouldn't pay that. No.
What goes into the price of the camera right now?
Oh, hype.
I mean, yeah, hype. Yeah, it's
okay,
all
talk.
Fucking hype.
Yeah. Dude, for the people that don't know.
Fucking TikTok, for one, like, blowing up Fuji and shit. Like, that, I used to get made fun of for shooting that shit. Like, people would be like, oh, you're shooting the Fuji? Like, what the hell? And I'm like, now fucking everybody is like doing great work, and people have always done great work with that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like some magical fucking TikTok shit. Like,
yeah, okay.
It's not the gear, yo. It's,
yeah, it's not the gear.
It's not
the
gear, it's
person.
The ear, right? Like, exactly. What we're used to hearing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
talking to a couple musicians, yeah.
It's not the gear, it's, you just gotta be fucking good at what you do, dude.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. So like the hype in general for stuff is just kind of big right now, but in general, you guys are here for when you came out for the MTE week and all that stuff. How was it? Talk about it. Give me the beats. Because you didn't go at all, Jake.
No, I didn't. Yeah, no. Well, I went for like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are all people that I've been associated with online and have known for at least a couple of years now, and it's always cool when we can get together and vibe out. And me and my homies, Nathan and Felix, we caught the Airbnb together, and it was sick. You know, it's cool to see the people that you got mad love for. Like, we've all kind of become a family over the last couple of years, so
yeah.
It's cool.
It's cool how, like, that whole space kind of started with nobody really knowing each other kind of in real life, or how I took it from, but, like, nobody actually really knew each other, and then everybody became so close just from being on Twitter, like interacting with each other, like seeing each other's art, like all that kind of shit. Like, you staying with Felix and Nathan, like, you know, seeing people, like, being at, like, Black Box Gallery and, like, hearing a name and being like, oh, shit, I know this person. Like, I've talked to this person for, like, 2 years, you know, and you've never actually met them, you know? That shit's fucking wild, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you can meet the wildest people in there, too.
Yeah.
And just, like, talk to the craziest people. In a space, Twitter space. Yeah.
Well, even, like, you met when we were standing outside of that little gallery last night, all drunk and shit.
Yeah, what was that? I got a film of it. It was, like, in...
Super Glow?
I had an upside-down question mark.
I forget what it was called. What that was...
I can pull it up really quick.
This dude, F-Dot, had a party or, like, an event thing going on in our gallery, and I was supposed to go. I RSVP'd. But what ended up happening is I was late to another art show,
a local art show.
And I wanted to go to the local art show instead. So it's kind of shit I'm into.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, NFTs aside, what really kind of, like, blew my mind a little bit is because you just moved to LA. Mm. So going from San Diego to another big major city like LA, and then coming to New York City, you told me that very first day you were there.
Crushed.
You were more inspired to shoot, do art, paint, do basically everything in one day than you were in that entire time you were staying in LA.
Yeah, I haven't been very inspired in LA, but LA is just like a cesspool of fucking emptiness. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I'm not from LA, but I can say that because I'm just, we all grew up in San, right? You guys grew up in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
So we're close to LA, so.
Yeah, I lived in LA for 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. So even like people ask me, oh, where'd you come out here from? I tell them LA just because I technically did. I flew out of LAX, but I'm not from LA, you know? Ever like to claim I'm from LA.
It doesn't matter because people always assume I'm from LA. It seems that even just mentioned, I was like, I lived there for a second. They're like, oh yeah, you live in LA.
How long does it take for them to ask you, do you surf?
Oh my God.
I feel like I get asked that out here so much.
So
in New
much.
York.
And it's like, I don't know, why does it matter?
Do you surf though? You seem like a surfer. Oh, you seem like a surfing motherfucker, though. Honestly, though, you do for some reason.
Me?
You seem like you surf.
That's hilarious because like I don't. But Jake has some fucking stories.
I really want to tell a story.
Yeah,
like,
I would love to tell
a story. Watched a fucking video of this guy going out surfing with one of our friends, who's a fucking ripper.
He's so good. He invited me out one day after work, yeah.
No, he didn't invite you on one day after work. He invited you on a fucking major swell, like tropical fucking, like double overhead fucking shit. Zen's the only person out there without a wetsuit. Zen is also the only person on a bright, hot pink surfboard. Just like...
Longboard.
Just trying to get out there, and dude, you killed it. You were like just getting.
I got my trap workout in.
Oh my God. I watched that shit happen on Surfline. I logged in.
It was on Surfline. So that's when he was trying to watch the swells.
Wait, what's that? Surfline.
To see a video broadcast of your local break or whatever to see like if it's going off.
So you surf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jake is good at everything.
That is not true.
He's really good at that shit.
But watching that happen, just dude, props. You fucking crushed it.
Like, surfing's hard as fuck.
No, it was hilarious. Okay, so he didn't even get to the funniest part of it, which Jake was watching these. Fucking surf line things or whatever they're called to check out the surf, and it was hilarious because like we talked later and I was like, man, I could not get out on the swell to like follow George, and Jake's like, I just saw this fucking idiot out in the swells. He just looked white as fuck in these swim trunks, and he just kept on getting pummeled by every single wave, and then we like it was instantaneous where he was like, oh shit, that was you, Zen. I was like, yeah, it was me.
I watched Zen do that for like 20 minutes.
You watched me on a webcam. Fucking nailed it.
Just get pummeled.
Dude, I just watched this guy, like, literally, like, Zen's right here, the waves are out here, and they just keep on going back this way, just absolutely go straight over. Everybody's like, boop, boop, just like going under. Like, you nailed it. Like, you.
Once I got out there, I was like, wow, these waves are way too big for me.
Yo, it's 9:30. There's an ice cream man going by.
Yeah, yeah, dude. You're an
audio vampire. Yeah, where you can't get your audio.
It's actually a pretty cool band name.
Audio Vampire?
Audio Vampire. Sounds like Thievery Corporation.
I know, dude. So Jake and I are looking for a band name for a new project.
Dick Wads.
I mean, I like, so Glitch IV is what we're talking about right now.
Glitch IV? It's actually kind of sick.
Oh, we started with Dirtbag Ivy, and we're like, yeah, that's a little bit too on the nose.
So the idea of Dirtbag Ivy was, like, Jake is all into fashion and stuff like that, and somebody called him out one day, and he's like, yeah, you're, like, an Ivy League dirtbag.
Ivy League dirtbags.
Yeah. You know, you dress nice, but you're kind of a shitty person, but you're not, like, that shitty of a person. You just, you get it. Exactly. We're all fucking yawning on the...
Like I've been drinking all day. I'm a yawn every now and then.
They don't want surprise people. They want people.
Okay, to be fair though, you were up till like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I want to hear. You didn't talk about your night enough. Let's get the dirty ass details minus anything that's incriminating. Go.
Story over. No, last night was sick. Last night was a movie. A lot of it. I don't want to say it's incriminating, but yeah, I was doing some cool shit. Yeah. Cool people. Hung out with some New York kids that are like some real New York kids. And just like, it was a cool experience. Riding the subway on the outside of the subway. Not like subway surfing on top, but just like in between cars. And I know that's probably something that a lot of people do. But y'all from San Diego, like I don't do that.
Yeah. There is no subway in San Diego. The closest we get to a subway is like the fucking trolley.
Yeah.
Which Jake and I talked about this on a podcast before, and it was hilarious because we ended up, I was like, dude, Jake, let's just take the trolley from Barrio Logan to, what was it?
Bay Park.
Yeah, to Bay Park. And it was like, we got on, and I shit you not, there was five, like, straight up crackheads. Like, and which is not uncommon in New York City subway. But they were all firing on all cylinders at the same time in the same car, and Jake and it was like they're all arguing, all about to get in the fight, all about to have something happen.
Yo, San Diego, they got some crackheads, yo. Like, yeah.
Dude, 18th and Imperial, just right there. That little fucking quadrant.
Like, are you talking about like the outskirts of Petco Park and shit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, regardless, all the downtown San Diego, I see a lot of people just smoking crack on the street.
At least they know how to act here. At least they understand that something bad is going to happen.
They stand outside of a grocery store and open the door for you. It was pretty sad. I did see some fool like not totally nodding out today. At a McDonald's entrance, not the one that we stopped by.
I was about to cry.
Yeah, no, maybe it was yesterday. No, but this dude was just like holding the door at a McDonald's, and they do that because they want to like ask you for a dollar and shit, And this one was just like nodding out like crazy, and I was like, man, that's fucking sad to see you right there, But he was like out of it.
Yeah,
that was real concerning to see. But that's what I'm saying. At least in New York, they hold the door open for you.
In San Diego, people are like, when I got remembered by that crackhead, she's like, I'm good. Fuck. And I'm like.
And she like saw him on the subway and she just started cussing Jake out, which is hilarious because Jake's a very sweet boy. And
I'm a very sweet boy. We're all very sweet
and, boys. And we were just sitting there minding our own business. And it was funny. And Jake and I went on a nice run along the beach in San Diego. Beautiful day, and then we decided to take a sit next to the water.
No, that was the fucking harbor, dude. The beach and the harbor are two very different things.
There was an ocean involved, and we sat down, and this lady found us again another day, and she was like, fuck you guys, fuck it.
Nice to see you!
Yeah, it was so hilarious. And
Anyway,
so that's San Diego. Crackiness for you, but
I mean, what's the craziest shit that's happened to you since you've been out in New York? Because you've been here for almost a week, so there's ample room for crazy shit to happen to you.
To be honest, I don't know. People in New York, they're like a lot chiller, I feel like, or at least the people that I'm approaching. They're a lot more approachable. That's also a reason why I had mentioned that shooting out here the first day compared to my last 2 months in LA has just been like killer.
Yeah.
Got a lot more work out of it. And there's a lot of characters in New York, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And you go up to them and they're just like, yeah, of course. Like, of course you can take my picture. Yeah. Like, I was fucking 3 nights ago. I was coming back at like 7 a.m. to the Airbnb spot I was staying at.
Yeah, yeah.
I was walking in Bushwick and this chick just had like super dope, like highlighter color fucking green hair. Yeah. And I was thrashed. This was, okay, so I ripped my pants that morning.
You're walking home with assless chaps.
My ass was hanging out. That's the kind of night I had. And I was like, fuck it, this is New York. There's a bunch of crazy. Anyways, I approached this fucking beautiful woman, highlighter color, green hair, 7 in the morning. She was probably on her way to work. And I was just still drunk, like just a madman.
With a bacon, egg, and cheese in your left hand. Yeah, just like,
yeah. Walked up to her and I was like, yo, like your hair is really dope. Can I shoot a photo? And she's like, I love photographers, you know? And like, and I just like shot like 5 photos of her.
Oh, yeah.
And then follow each other. And not, obviously, she's like, she's a model. You know, a lot of people out here fucking models. Yeah. Or they turn out to be when I get their Instagrams. And like, everyone out here is doing something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, super cool. Some fool threw his cigarette at me.
That was in Chinatown?
Yeah, Chinatown.
Okay.
Everyone's smoking cigarettes out there in front of the storefronts.
Yeah.
And like, I hit him with a flash and he just threw a cigarette at me. And that was funny. That was tight, you know?
I mean, you hit him with a flash, he hit you with a cigarette.
Yeah.
It's a fair exchange.
I hit him with the light, he hit me with the light.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a fair exchange.
It's been fun as fuck, though, dude. It's been fun as fuck. New York, as you guys know, as we all can't stop talking about, I gotta move out here.
Yeah.
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 For many reasons.
Absolutely. Like, you already hit the ground more than running. You were fucking a full-on sprint. Day one, you texted me like, hey, I'm like 5 minutes away going to my Airbnb. I'm going shooting. Like, you probably just landed. Mm-hmm. Got a fucking bagel sandwich or whatever and like a coffee or a beer or something. And then just hit it. Yeah. And I think that very first day that we connected, that was like the first day at NFT NYC.
That was my first day here,
Yeah. And you had already done so much shit. That was 8 hours into your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking wild, man. Like, you come to New York City and you just fucking bombed it.
Like, I've just been moving like a madman.
Yeah.
I track my steps and my calories and shit on my Apple Watch, and I haven't been paying attention to the steps, but the calories, you know, they've been going. But I've been eating like a fat fuck, you know what I mean? So, but yo, yeah, man, fucking New York, just like mobbing on foot all day.
Yeah,
it feels good. My legs are about to give out. I fly back to LA in 2 days and I'm gonna sleep for like 3 days.
Your thighs are gonna be like fucking like, but like muscle.
That's the thing that nobody thinks about, honestly. So when I moved here, I was like, dude, every girl, like, yeah, we grew up in San Diego. It doesn't get much hotter than that for like human being specimens on the fucking planet, right?
You mean, but, like, the looks of people, like,
right? Okay, you know, that's like the definition of like a yoga body, right?
Okay, yeah.
You come to New York and people are walking around all the fucking time.
The thing is, it's a melting pot out here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So they come from all over the place. So there's plenty of beautiful people.
People
out here.
Are so goddamn hot here. Yeah, you just walk around. And you're like, wow. I mean, you're like. They come out of the subway and rats part the ways. Yeah.
Are they
beautiful?
Though? Yeah. Are they though? Or are we only noticing the beautiful people?
Of course.
I mean, there's a lot of fucking ugly people too, but like, it's the thing with New York.
At the same time,
you
have to walk around.
Just like what I say last night, I was like, yo, the women out here are beautiful. Like, they're all 10s, and you know what's so dope is that, like, they're down to fuck with a 6.
Yeah. It's been insane.
Or so it seems, you know.
Oh, it's been
allegedly,
insane. And like every, and, you know, they're all down. Like that's the thing. Everybody's out here just to like fuck around and find out. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, they're all out here to have
a
time. Yeah, sure.
And that's the thing about dating here too. It's just like, yeah, there's definitely more girls than guys.
So let me flip it on y'all and ask you, guys have been dating out here or like what's...
Yeah, yeah.
What's the business?
Yeah, Jake.
I've talked to him a little bit.
Yeah, no.
I mean, we both moved out here single as fuck. and we've both been having a good time. I have honestly, you know, I've been more busy just doing my own shit, trying to like just grind and hustle. But yeah, dating's been fun. I found my own shit and what I like to do, but that's the most boring answer I could possibly give you. But it's been good.
Well, you're working at a bar in Chelsea.
Yeah.
Plenty of people coming by. We were kicking it with
I have so many numbers already.
Bradley Cooper on Too Much NZT. That
yeah. Okay, so that dude actually did fucking look like Bradley Cooper, and now we can plug the photo of
Mr. Bradley Cooper.
He'll be sitting there like with this photo like this.
Yeah.
Fucking wasted.
He was fucking hammered, but that's what happens at your bar.
He also, he shows up when I start working and he leaves. I close the doors and lock the doors while he's still in there as I'm closing up.
Every shift?
Yeah. The other day, like,
I thought he was like a tourist.
No.
No, he told us he's from there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the night.
Remember, he was telling me don't go to Brownsville unless you want to get killed.
You're right. Yeah. But to be fair, he looked like he is a golfer.
He looked like he shouldn't be walking around Brownsville.
Yeah.
Brown, what? I just realized how not aligned this pillar is right here.
No. We're at like the rule of thirds right now.
No, I'm talking about this pillar particularly, just like foundation wise.
It is, yeah. It's mad crooked.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, okay. So he's saying not to go to Brownsville, right? And like we had looked for a house in Brownsville, and we were like,
No, we did not. Oh yeah. So Jake and I need to tell a story. Because, wow, this is the most schizophrenic podcast I've ever done, by the way.
Okay, you got three people that are just, like, mad ADD.
Yeah.
Like,
haven't been drinking.
Jake and I found this house. This house is amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's incredible. And anybody who's out there who's listening to this, you're welcome to come. Text me, and I will probably ignore you if I don't want you to come. But if not, you should definitely come out.
And I just straight up won't get back to you.
Yeah, we won't get back to you, and that's fine.
They fucked up telling me I can come anytime I want, so next thing you know, I'm coming back next week.
So, we got a fourth roommate.
So we're booked for the next 4 months, but after that, we might be for another four. But so the way we found this place is, so this is this very amazing, nice, acidic Jew man. How do I say that in a nicer way?
This very nice.
I think it went well.
Okay. No, he's a fucking badass.
Yeah, he's a fucking badass.
He's like yay high.
He's got the curls. Of course, he's got the curls. And if anybody doesn't live in New York and they don't know what to talk about, they're just listening on Spotify or whatever. You gotta look up a Hasidic Jew.
This got a great smile.
Yeah, he's got a great smile. He was using emojis as he texted us, which is not common. For them, apparently there's different factions of Hasidic Jew, and there's actually ones that are way gnarlier, and I don't think we got the gnarly version.
No, he seemed like he wanted to fucking party.
He did have a flip phone.
And dude, those phones are fucking sick. Yeah. I want one of those.
Also, their outfits are fucking sick. Hasidic Jews have some dope shit.
That's like some Peaky Blinders shit.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyway, so
like there's a lot more to it.
So
that
we get to this house.
Yeah, we're not Jewish, so yeah.
Yeah, we get to this this house. So it's out of this backyard that looked like you could land like a fucking aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
In it. That's a boat, but
this one?
No, this is a different one.
This is how we got this.
This is how we got. Mm-hmm. So we show up with these guys and these three very nice girls also showed up, and they were also viewing the place, and they're like, "Oh, you guys are here to view it too?" We're like, "Yeah," and they're like, "Shit."
So it's like a contest.
And I was, looked at Jake, and in my head, I was like, "They're definitely gonna get it. They look way sweeter than we do, and they look like they got money."
Yeah.
And we walk in, and Coleman unlocks the door for the place, and there's a guy in there, and the
big
guy,
fucking guy,
big guy.
Was like, it his
big
place?
Guy. Coleman is not.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was his place. And he was already renting, and the guy's like, "What the fuck are you doing in my apartment building?" And Coleman's like, "I'm here to show the place."
He's like, "Yeah, we're in the show the apartment."
Yeah, I know you're here right now. And Colin looks back at us. He's like, "I guess there's some guys squatting." He's like, "Get the fuck out. I'm going to beat the shit out of you."
Holy shit.
And Colin looks back at us. He's like, "Okay, everybody."
What area was this?
This is Bushwick, Myrtle Wyckoff.
Yeah, Myrtle Wyckoff.
Yeah,
okay.
So it would have been pretty cool, but at the same time, so we got the three girls fucking hauled ass out of there quick.
Yeah.
This guy could have probably taken on seven of us and hurt it, all of
every
us.
Single one.
Yeah, of us. Yeah. He was a big dude.
Yeah.
So we got out of there, and then, you know, Coleman got in his Range Rover, whatever the fuck he's driving, and he scurried off.
So we texted him immediately, like, hey, thanks for showing us the place.
Yeah.
If you still have another place for rent, we are very interested.
He's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. So then he's like, you want to check out this 8-bedroom place that we have for rent? And we're like, how much is it? He's like, what was it?
It was
like, $3,700. We're like,
eight
bedrooms, $3,700.
Let's move into that right now.
No.
So then we went and checked that place out. It was cool. But no, but so basically at that point, we just became under his wing, and like, he was like, I'm going to help these guys.
Yeah.
Like,
that's exactly what that, Colin.
So that basically us almost getting our asses kicked really helped us get this place. So when this place came up for rent, they showed it off, and, you know, Jake and Ming saw it. I did not see it.
Wait, so where was the 8-bedroom place?
Bed-Stuy.
Yeah, but Bed-Stuy.
Bed-Stuy is an amazing neighborhood, but this like, particular place.
It was like
a
30-minute walk to any train, though.
Mm.
But it was 8 bedrooms, which is just stupidly large.
That's legit, though. $3,700?
I know.
Yeah.
We definitely
you,
thought
Jake,
about
you already
it.
Knew. Just call
we
me
already
up,
thought about
you
know? It.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, when Jake and I thought
I would have rented 5 bedrooms.
When yeah. Jake and I thought we were moving to New York City, we thought we were going to move into a place maybe as big as this like room right here together.
Where
like,
we're
maybe.
Doing the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Like where we're lucky. If
isn't
we,
that
like,
the thing, like the stigma behind like
yeah, you move into
New
a
York
fucking shoebox.
Being fucking
yeah.
tiny and shit. Yeah. But that's more like Manhattan, like in the fucking heart of the city type shit. You
yeah.
know?
Well, yeah. And like out here in Brooklyn too, like I've noticed for the most part, everybody's kind of like our age. Like they're younger, they're into more like creative shit. Into just more cool shit in general. So, like, I'm not going to say a lot of the people in
bunch
the city.
Bunch of hipsters.
Out here it's a bunch of hipsters. Yeah, and to be fair, we're just a bunch of fucking hipsters.
Now we're going to go crash a house party and maybe a jazz bar. We're going to be like, Ahmad Jamal.
Yeah, so Ahmad Jamal passed away today.
Yeah,
fucking
oh, shit.
Yeah.
92. Yeah.
Hey. It's time.
Way
you know?
Years.
I'm not going to lie, as big of a, like, I don't want to say I'm like a, I am a huge Ahmad Jamal fan, but I'm just like a sample-based hip-hop beatmaker cat. So, like,
yeah.
Ahmad Jamal plays a big role in that. But, like, when I saw it, it made me sad, but I was like, wait, he's alive? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. When you said he was 92, I was like, oh, I thought he was already dead, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you just kind of, I mean, fuck, it's Ahmad Jamal, you know, legend.
Yeah.
Forever. So
I mean, just... I'm not trying to like backtrack or like segue in anything, but like, so before you got into photography, you were doing beats. Like,
you know what? Actually, I think this is the time. Let's start from the goddamn start.
Okay,
we're about 37 minutes into this podcast already.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Vista.
Vista. Hey,
Vista.
That's where I'm from.
Really? Vista. Oshside. What's your neighborhood?
That's where I was born in Vista. But I got the fuck out of there right after.
Tri City.
As a baby, I was like, I gotta get out of
there. So you were born in Tri City?
Probably Tri City.
Unless
you're born in a bathtub.
No, I was not born in a bathtub.
Tri City's like the only.
I think that was it. Yeah, exactly. I grew up in Fallbrook.
Okay, word. Yeah. Tri City's my neighborhood that I grew up in. Yeah. So if you're trying to get to where I was introduced to anything creative, it's definitely skateboarding. Skateboarding was what showed me everything.
When did you start skating?
That's when I say I fucking suck at skating. I mean, like, I can skate, but I fucking suck.
And but do you have fun?
Things.
That's all that matters.
Oh, that's all that matters. But, yeah, certainly I have a lot of fun. 99, maybe? 98? Young as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, my
and
uncle was a professional skateboarder.
29?
I'm 29 now.
Yeah.
So my uncle was a professional skateboarder. His name's Jeremy DeGlopper. A lot of people wouldn't know, but like real heads do know for sure. Like, yeah, so skateboarding introduced me to photography. 2008, I got my first camera, digital camera, 12 megapixels, $900. Just crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, hip hop. I fucking found hip hop through skateboarding. Like everything backtracks to skateboarding, graffiti, photography. anything art related, all from skateboarding. But yeah, so hip hop, made my first album in 2011. And so just to get like real quick, I was super depressive, maniacal fucking teenager that wanted to kill himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so my first album was called Missing Children. It was a suicide note.
Yeah.
And it was just like a big like fuck you to the world. And like, yeah, it was just like me pouring my feelings out into the world. So eventually what happened, it was 20 songs. And eventually what happened was it like kind of saved some kids' lives. Like I got hit up by a lot of younger kids that really were just going through the same shit and expressing to me that that album saved their lives because, yeah, someone was going through the same thing. Kids were hitting me up with pictures of tattoos they got on their wrists of my lyrics where they would cut themselves and shit. And to me, that was like gnarly, yeah, you know? And so I didn't kill myself. That's like a really hard thing to do, you know, like kill yourself. Yeah. So of course it's like tough to fucking actually do it. It's not easy. So I felt like I had a calling at that point. You know, I had always loved hip hop. I was making my own beats on MPC 2000 XL, recording all my own shit in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And like at that time, I was low key just like standing in the corner of my room, yelling into a microphone, sweating balls and like crying as I'm rapping. Like it's, yeah, real like emo rap shit, you know?
I mean, that's fucking tight though.
And people who real watch this, who like know, who have been like longtime fans of my shit, don't know exactly what I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah.
But so anyways, yeah, I went on to make a bunch of music, dude, like fucking 30 albums. Even though I feel like every time I say that, how many albums I made, it like the number goes up and up. But it's around like 26. Yeah. No, it's got to be like 26. Put out a bunch of vinyl. Anyways, long story short, not to get too deep into the music stuff, but music was like where I thought I was going with life. Like I was about to tour Europe with these cats named Hex One and DJ Propo 88, who was like, Propo 88 was kind of trying to step in as like a manager position, and he helped me get my first record deal with the vinyl label in Budapest.
Oh, that's cool. In Hungary,
right?
Yeah,
like, was it
Hungary, like label? H-U-N-G-A-R-Y.
Yeah, Budapest? I don't know if it was Hungary. No, somewhere though. So here's the thing, in all those European continents, like hip-hop is alive and thriving. It's like, yeah, the 90s out there. Yeah. So anyways, I was supposed to tour Europe with those cats in 2017. I was big as fuck, like 300 pounds, herniated a disc in my back, two bulging discs. I was driving full time, would go home, just make mad beats, smoke mad blunts, drink mad beers, and just do nothing but slouch over like this, which I, you know, I got to correct myself right now and make sure my back's good.
Yeah.
But so I was like paralyzed for like 6 months, you know, and worst time of my life. I didn't think that I was going to be able to walk again.
Yeah.
So I remember one morning I'm like laying in bed, and I had been shooting film for like years before that and just like didn't ever get it developed because it was just like a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember just fucking being in my bed and like feeling like hell, like not knowing where my life is going. My fucking left leg didn't work. My dick didn't work. Like my shit, my nerves were getting pinched. Like it was, yeah, crazy, and that plays a big role or a big toll on your mental, you know?
Oh yeah.
So but I had a bag of film sitting on my shelf, and I was like, you know what, like, I ain't got nothing else to do, I'm gonna get those developed and see, yeah, what's on them. And then I did, and fucking just was like, holy shit, these look great. Hooked. Yeah. They weren't even like sick photos. Like I was taking a lot of pictures of like homeless people, like kind of what you do, yeah, like, yeah, in photography.
That's,
and
a, that's a good picture right there.
Yeah, basically all around Imperial and San, yeah, Diego and that whole area we're, yeah, talking about. No, but yeah, like I would take pictures of fools like dealing crack and shit, like outside of Petco Park. Like I have one photo in specific I still think is kind of cool, of like some fools serving some crack, and it's like not anything I would share just because people are like, the fuck. Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, yeah, but to me it was just like raw, you know. Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I was doing or seeing. But no, yeah, so I just got fucking hooked, you know, just, yeah, like super hooked, and just anything creative, anything artistic just kind of takes over my mind. I can't stop thinking about it. Ruins relationships, ruins friendships, ruins family life, fucking, you, it just like kind of takes over. I'm sure, yeah, you guys known to that before too, you know. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, one thing that is kind of sticking out to me right now is, like,
you didn't start by shooting, you know, like a digital camera. You just had this like bag of like film and shit. And, like, film's super fucking expensive now. But like back then, you know, like you take a photo with like a film camera or whatever. You're like, I have no idea how this is going to come out. It could look like shit. And then you get it back and it's like your first ever roll. And you're like, oh shit, this is fucking cool. You get hooked like that.
Yeah. Well, I did start shooting digital actually initially. Oh, okay. And then I'll tell you how I got into shooting film. My grandpa hooked me up with a bag, like an old bag that was his dad's. It was like some Minolta setup. Yeah. I think it was like an SRT something. And I never got around to using it. I had a crazy ex-girlfriend that when I finally got the nerve to like kick her out of my life, which sounds harsh, but like she fucking deserved it.
It's not harsh at all, yeah. Deserved that.
But she stole that shit from me. And I was butthurt, and I was like, I never used it. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to get, like, a camera, a film camera. And I'm just like, fuck with it. So I got a K1000, which is, like, a lot of people's first camera and shit.
That was my first camera.
Yeah. And it's fucking, it's a beautiful feeling, you know, like, when that fucking shutter slaps.
Clunk.
You're like, yo. I got an iPad for a super dope price recently. And I got it to do, like, Procreate shit with the Apple Pencil. I don't think this guy used it for that.
Yeah.
But like when I'm using,
is that how you were making some of the digital?
Yeah, stuff? It's how I've been doing it. Yeah, but it's been such a fucking pain in the ass because there's a part of the screen where like I put the pencil and the whole line just goes like all over the place and I'm like, fuck this, like, well, the sensor.
That's the thing when people like sell stuff for cheap and it's like you get a good deal on it. It's always something. Something. Like when you find a good price on eBay for something.
Not only that, I went to go buy an Apple Pencil from the Apple Store after, and the dude was like, yeah, you could have got, like, the brand new iPad for $100 more. And I was like, I didn't know they're fucking that cheap. Like,
damn.
All right. Yeah. So, we're back. Again. I wanted to bring this up because I love learning about places. I love, actually, with this, a lot of this podcast, what I've done is, like, learning about fucking San Diego. Place that we grew up in. I did not know about Barrio Logan. I did not know about certain places in San Diego from the people I've interviewed from. And
you know about Little Somalia?
No.
City
places with the fucking.
I want to learn about.
AKs. Shit.
I want to learn about where you grew up, like the family you're around, the people you're around. What do you have to say about, you know, what do you think made you into an artist? Because somebody doesn't usually just end up an artist. There are some people that just, like, you know, their natural progression. That's what I call them, golden boys or golden girls. It's just like, it just made sense for me. But a lot of people, you know, it comes with a struggle to some extent.
Yeah.
And Jake and I have talked about that extensively on this podcast.
Yeah, this is, like, one thing that, like, I think we've asked everybody on the podcast is, like, absolute just, like, roots. Like, what made you? Into, like, not the, like, yeah, as, like, what turned you into an artist? Like, what made you want to create?
What are you willing to spill?
I'll just get to the nitty gritty. And this isn't like anything I really share with people. I'm an artist because I was molested as a child. You know, and like when you go through shit like that, like you were saying, there's always something, mm-hmm. You know? And yeah, that's my thing. Like, I used to want to die because of it.
Yeah.
And because of that is I made music and expressed myself and wasn't even like open about that throughout my music. I've only kind of chosen to be, what's it called? Kind of subliminally open about that through photography and projects I've done in the past few years. But like that really accelerated me into an artistic path.
Yeah.
You know, or just like trying to find
fresh out.
Yeah. Yeah, or like just trying to find what, like, where I fit in out there. Mm-hmm. So my first album was called Missing Children. Every single album after that was like Gone Missing, Get Home Safe Kid. My very last album was called Almost Home.
Mm-hmm.
So like my whole thing has always been like trying to find my my position in life, or like just my comfort,
the idea of home and self. Safety and,
yes.
And self and feeling okay in yourself.
Yes, exactly.
And also, first off, sorry you had to go through that.
It's all good. You know what's crazy is a lot of people have been through that shit. Yeah.
Like, a very, very large amount of people have gone through that. And it's
the only reason I have chosen to like kind of confront it and like talk about it with a lot more people now, because just like that first album I put out, like, yo, like, people go through shit, and like all it takes is for someone to like be like, oh shit,
some kind of
went through that too, you know. Like, it's wild, especially when it comes to men, like, fucking there's like some statistic, like men didn't even start talking about sexual abuse that they've gone through in literary fucking facets, like on paper, till the year 2000.
Yeah, that's fucking wild, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you can take that out in such, like, you know, think how many fucking wars wouldn't have happened if somebody would just, like, talk to somebody else rather than being like, oh, I'm in a position of power and I have all these fucked up feelings and I've never done this. Like, yeah, just fucking talk. Like, or, you know, not blaming anybody, but, like, you know, fucking talk to somebody if at all possible, because there's so many people going through so much shit in general, and like it really, you know, it's good to share that stuff. You know, like earlier on the podcast, I shared about, like, you know, being diagnosed bipolar and all that stuff, and it's not as a means of being like, oh, look at me, like I'm this sort of person. It's like, no, everybody's got some shit. Not everybody needs to get diagnosed with something, you know, and like everybody's on a spectrum as far as like what a diagnosis actually means for them or anybody else involved. But like, just like get your shit out there, and like, being a musician or being an artist or even, you know, just being an accountant that feels troubled and doesn't know how to communicate with people, there are other people like you. And I think that's an important thing to say.
Exactly. It's just like
you're not alone. It's so cliche to say, but it's like absolutely
no true. And that's why I make art, is because I want to be heard. And it's like, I do like for people to see my shit. Like, it's the same reason I started making music. It's the same reason I started shooting photos and, like, would actually actively try to pursue a life in art, because, I want my voice to be heard. It's the same reason why, like, I write graffiti. It's like, as a fuck you. Like, this is me, and, like, this is what I'm going to do regardless of how you feel about it, just because, you know? And it's like, just being heard. Just, like, yelling into the void of this fuckery, like, all these plastic people fucking on their way to live their daily life, whatever, you know?
Yeah, they're hurting just as much as everybody else. They're just, like, really good at making the shells of themselves to hold themselves in, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to, like, plug... I mean, I'm plugging the photography right now, but, like, for real, one thing that I've always respected about you and what actually got me into your photos... before I even knew you, was when I first saw your photos, I was like, this shit is raw and this is real. And not a lot of that at the time. Like, I think I met you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or like, that's when we started talking, like on Instagram, like Twitter, all that shit, like first getting into the NFT space. Like, there's always been trends, there's always been fads, there's always been like kind of whatever in photography, especially in our day and age now where everything is very social media influenced, but like, you have a background in fucking hip hop, fucking graffiti, skateboarding, hardcore punk, like all these things that you wouldn't necessarily think tie in together, but like, those form an entire fucking lifestyle.
I just want to put on the record, I don't have a background in anything hardcore punk related. I just I know people who do that type of shit, and I'm fully submersed in, like, I just want to be, like,
that was just
submersed in the culture of everything. Like, anything that has to do with, like, any type of subculture, underground movements, like, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
I just want to be in it, you know? It's amazing. Because if you think about it, it's just a bunch of people meeting up and be like, I'm fucked up, too.
Yeah.
You know? Dude, that's what's so sick about, like, punk shit, too. It's like, they're all just fucked up, and they just, like, that's how they fucking come together, you know?
I mean, that's one thing that I absolutely really respected about your work. Like, one, I was like, oh, this shit's local, but also this is absolutely real, and there's not a lot of people. I can't say that for a fact that other people's shit, like, isn't real, but, like, I don't know. Like, your stuff just, like, struck kind of like a chord, and I was like, oh, shit, like,
appreciate
this is some, like, real-ass work, you know?
When did you guys first start talking?
in fucking on Twitter.
Yeah, right? 2021.
I met you in LA at NFT LA. We met with Lalo, had dinner and all that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had like a $600 dinner and I got a bowl of fucking coffee.
This fool had the fucking... Imagine just like a bowl of like pho or like something, soup. But just black yeah. coffee. And this fool's like, he's like sipping it like this.
Dude, it was like 8 o'clock at night and I had to drive home from San Diego and I had to pull over. Because I was tweaking so hard. I was like, I was driving, like, straight up, I'm driving in the carpool lane because I was like, fuck all this traffic. And I'm like this, I'm like, smoking, like, shaking. Yeah. And I was like, I have to pull over or else I'm going to rear end the person in front of me.
Wow.
And, like, I mean, that was wild. That was actually the first time that we met.
Met, yeah.
And that was the first time meeting a lot of people in the NFT space. And I don't know why everybody was in LA. Is that
NFT LA? Okay. Yeah. I went up there specifically to meet with Randy.
Yeah.
He's really good homies with Vinny Hager, who's a big big artist in the space. And they were doing like some fancy Beverly Hills party at this company called Cameo.
Yeah.
I think they're the ones that do that whole like, yo, like you can get fucking saying happy birthday by Flavor Flav. And they'd be like, Zen, it's your birthday, dog.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I mean? Like, they'll make you your own video.
$50 later, yeah.
They were hosting some party in Beverly Hills, and Randall is or Randy, is funny calling Randall. Randy is like, he's not some cat that's heavily submersed in that whole side of things, but he was like, yo, I'm going to this Beverly Hills thing, I'm being in California. Like, please come hang out with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, say less. Beverly Hills, fancy party, bunch of rich people? Yeah, I'm there.
Oh.
Yeah, that was sick though. Like Randy, he became one of my best friends through the space. We started hosting Twitter spaces together and it's sick. Honestly,
that was,
the whole Twitter
the
movement.
Room, right?
Yeah, the dark room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lalo was hosting with us. The whole Twitter movement, honestly, has been fucking phenomenal. Like just being able to meet so many people, talking to people. Fucking, yeah, it's crazy. Yo. The internet's a fucking crazy place. Like,
yeah.
Thinking back on it, like making music, every label I've worked with is overseas. My last album was all produced by amazing fucking group of beat makers in Norway.
How'd you end up with that?
YouTube.
Oh shit.
I was kind of early on to like blasting my music on YouTube, which I should have, what's it called?
Monetized?
I should have monetized a long time ago.
Yeah.
Probably could have been making a killing.
Yeah.
Like I haven't touched it in years, but like I have like 8,000 subscribers, which is not that many in the grand scheme of things. But when I wasn't trying, and like now that I know that, like, oh shit, you get 100,000 subscribers and over 1,000.
I know people who are really, really trying, and 5,000 is like,
yeah,
like pretty good for them.
Yeah. But I've gotten flagged so many times for like shit like that. I don't even like care to try and monetize or anything. But like just YouTube or the internet in general, I'm just like. Anyone can find your shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, everybody uses YouTube.
Yeah, I think, I mean, YouTube is the second biggest search engine that there's out there.
This is what I used to tell people making beats in hip hop back in the day, like, or like, not back in the day, so it makes me sound older, like I'm some OG cat. But not like 2011, 2012, everyone I knew was like, SoundCloud. You can find my shit on SoundCloud. I was like, why are you on SoundCloud? The only other people who are on SoundCloud are other rappers and other beat makers.
Yeah.
Everybody's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though SoundCloud was a move, now I'm thinking about it, because a lot of people made big moves on SoundCloud. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everybody's on fucking YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Monetization through SoundCloud didn't really seem like it took off.
And I never listened to music on SoundCloud.
There's like a very
well, it's funny, because my sister, yeah, who is 8 years older than I am, she's listening to stuff on SoundCloud, and I'm just like, that's cute. I mean, it's just all DJ mixes, which is rad, and that's kind of what it's for.
Yeah.
Or full mixtapes or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so I'll tell you through making music and stuff, because I still am very passionate about music. I can't find it for the life of me to like pick up the pen and try and write a song anymore. But for me, for a long time, it was
which is fine.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I made hundreds of songs, like a lot of shit. And a lot of it was like super, super depressing. And I learned over time that manifestation was real, and I was hurting myself in the long run by just like being so sad. So like my last album was called Almost Home because I was confident that I was like on my way to actually finding myself. And it's got a much more positive vibe, even though I have songs on there that are like super positive, but like low key, I wrote and recorded them after like having a mini stroke from like doing a bunch of cocaine the night before and like contemplating killing myself.
Yeah.
But it was more like a way to be like, nah, you got this, motherfucker. Yeah. Like,
that's still figuring it out to some extent, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And my very last song I ever recorded is called, it's kind of bad, I don't remember what it's called. It'll be all right. Or no. It'll all work out.
Right.
Super bad. I don't fucking remember that.
We're going to plug it right there.
I think it's called It All Work Out.
Yeah.
I think it's called It All Work Out.
When was your first release?
2011. No, I put out a mixtape. I started making shit in 2009. Mm-hmm. 2011, I put out my very first album, like a Bandcamp thing.
Yeah.
And that was called Missing Children. And then I started a label called Missing Children.
Why aren't you satisfied with just like the regular life of just like doing your shit, going home and watching some TV, going out on weekends, you know, with your friends and doing it all over again?
It's all a facade.
Yeah.
Like, especially, I mean, I still feel this way, but like back when I was young, I was like, man, this shit's fake, yo. Like, I had a real big issue with people, and I'm still a really insecure person, you know? Like, I might seem like I'm fucking sociable and like can like play it cool, but I'm still a really insecure person, you know? But I used to think that everybody had it out for me and shit, and that's not a good way to think, you know?
Yeah. I mean, also, like, you know, in art in general, I feel like there's a huge measure of this, like, self-doubt that you have to, like, work through it to just fucking keep on making your shit and to, like, keep on going.
You know? I think that's what makes you a dope artist, though.
I almost feel like photographers and, like, visual artists are getting theirs right now because, like, musicians were at the forefront of being, like, hyper, like, under the microscope for a long time in social media. Like, of course, like, photography was the first thing on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and then it, you know, went from there, but to some extent, like, now it's, like, visual artists, yeah. like, and musicians, everybody's giving them a break right now, because they're like, oh, you know, they're figuring themselves out, like, dude, give them time, like, you know, they gotta do some more videos on TikTok, and they'll figure it out.
They just
like,
started a synth punk band.
Yeah, exactly. visual artists, I feel like, for some reason, are, you know, especially with the emergence of AI and all that stuff, it's like, you better show the fuck up right now.
Yeah, well, it's hard to think about, like, Instagram and YouTube, like, it might have killed photography, but like at the same time it like really gave it life too,
like revitalized it.
Like we were
you were saying an AI generated photo won a contest.
Yeah, I don't know the exact details, but something recently an AI generated photo won like a photography award, like for best photo or something. And like, yeah, it's fucking wild to think about.
And it's like we're living in the dystopian.
We've been using AI for so long. You got like, what is this program right here?
This is Ableton.
Ableton. Okay, so I use Logic. Every time I'm fucking using a DAW, like I'm using AI.
Oh, of course. You know? Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. That's just how
AI goes. Stands for audio interface.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I ain't scared of that shit. I mean, it's just gonna happen. Like everything changes all the time, so it's like,
yeah, I'm not
AI,
scared of it.
AI is like a crazy mind blowing thing at the moment, but at some point we're gonna be like, yeah.
You saw that thing recently.
Remember when it surprised us? Like that's not gonna.
See, the thing is though that there's crazier shit going on. Like that's just what we're seeing.
Yeah, this is like
that's what
the
they decided to show
surface
us.
Level.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
but like
it's also the absolute worst that it'll ever be in history is right now.
Yeah.
this is ground. This is like fucking Flintstones.
This is entry level.
Yeah.
The world is a scary place, yo. Super random, but your tattoos right here, I had never seen those. Those are sick.
Oh, thanks, man. But yeah,
they're called Kanyas.
Yeah, I always forget that I have symmetrical fucking things.
Hey, you fucking nailed that shit.
Yeah, you did.
That red is popping too.
Yeah, and what's funny is I'm like mad allergic to red ink. So like every time I get a red tattoo, it just like bubbles up and like looks all fucking shitty.
Hey, you have a grip of red too.
A what?
You have a grip of red.
I know, dude. I got like, only have red. Yeah, so every time I get a red tattoo, it takes like a month to heal, and you can see where all the little bubbles were, and they turn into like blisters and shit.
So this was my first tattoo. Missing children, of course.
Nice.
And I paid 50 cents for the ink from Inner World.
That's so well done.
Is it?
I think so, dude, yeah.
No, yeah.
It's fucking, no. Anyways, there was warts all over it.
Oh, shit.
For like years, yo. Like, I would show it to people, and this is kind of disgusting, but I would show it to people, and they'd be like, yo, go to the hospital. What the fuck are you doing? And I'd just like be like, all insecure about, like, just kind of scared, like,
no. Like, no, it just kind of itches a little bit.
To find out what, that, like, I'm gonna die or something, you know? Like, no, I'm straight. So anyways, years later, I fucking had a weird skin infection or skin rash somewhere, like, all over my body, a couple places on my body. And when that went away, then these went away. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it kind of, like, battled each other.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful that they're gone now, because I'm like, fuck. I was gonna get missing children tattooed all across my neck when I was 17 years old. Like, that's how about it I was about that shit back then. I'm still super, like, missing children in my shit. A lot of people that fuck, like, there's, like, a lot of diehard motherfuckers out there that really fuck with it, and it's cool. Yeah. Sick.
That's cool that you just, like, been fucking doing that for so long. Like,
yeah.
That's, like, one of the first things
that you think about, like,
as an artist.
Yeah.
Like, that's heavy, dude. It's like really,
I'm still passionate about it. People ask me when I'm going to put more music out again, and honestly, my answer is like when I have time to make it for fun, because it became a thing where I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and then it started becoming stressful because I'm like putting out albums left and right, and I'm trying to pull in money, and I'm putting out records, and I'm dropping $1,000 to press my own records on my own label, putting out vinyl, or putting out cassettes and shit, as well as vinyl and all that. And then it just became stressful. You know, like I used to just do that shit for no reason at all. And so I just wanted to get back to that. But like now that we're all like around 30 years old, it's hard to make the time to do shit like that.
Yeah. You know?
Also that in my back too, like it's hard to sit down for hours on end to make music, you know?
I mean, okay, as a perfect fucking example, just us getting in here to do this podcast today was a trek. Was it not?
Like a walk, just, physically?
Yeah,
No.
Just to like fucking sit down and be like, yeah, we have a fucking awesome day ahead of us. And just like to make something, you know, we're all artists and we all want to sit down and like talk together and kind of promote our own shit. Like, it's hard. It's when you have a day off and stuff like that, most people just want to fucking chill.
Yeah.
Like, and this stuff is not fucking hard. It's not, like, tedious. It's just, even to just create or make a podcast or to make a video or to make a song, it's, you have to literally set aside time and put it in your calendar or else that shit is not going to happen.
That's the thing with me is my mind's always in another place. And so I can't just chill. Like, even on when I have a day off, I don't work full time anymore. But when I was, had very minimal time to just relax.
Yeah.
I was not relaxing, you know, like I have anxiety about doing something creative. Like I always felt like I had to do something creative.
Same. Well, yeah, definitely same for, I can speak for Jake, but
fuck you.
Same.
And if I wasn't, like I could cry, you know, like it was really bad. Like really. And now I'm fucking, still have like a part-time job, but like I have more time to do shit and I still stress out.
Yeah.
Just wondering if I'm going to get shit done.
I think it's a good time to wrap up because
we're going to go to a house party and meet some people.
To a house party.
And then we're going to go back to that birthday party at the bar.
We're at the fucking Pillboy.
Oh, shit. That birthday party is at, what was that bar called?
No, it's not the same party.
No, there was a birthday party that was happening at that bar we were just at.
Yeah, different party, but yeah.
We're
yeah.
not going to somebody's birthday. No.
I don't fucking know.
No, that guy was just like, someone's birthday tonight. It's going to be cracking. Come back. That's what he said.
He's like, you got to tip me.
Yeah, is that what he said?
Come on back. Like, I need to make some money.
That bar was cool. Honestly, the photo I took in that bathroom might be the coolest photo I took out here.
That's a whole time photo, dude.
I really like that.
That's cool.
So I don't know if people listening will know some album by Peanut Butter Wolf, who he started Stone Slow Records. Yeah. I don't know if you guys are familiar. But he's got a dope album cover that's just like a bathroom.
Yeah.
That's super tagged up. And for some reason, that album cover is always imprinted in my mind.
Yeah.
And I like an album cover art that says nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, just a toilet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
yeah, with like tags all over it. That's it.
Kind of like chaos a little bit. They're just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys ever been to Amoeba in Hollywood? The old one?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you ever been in the elevator?
Yes.
Okay, so I was working on an album called Elevator Music because my stepdad, he calls my beats Elevator Music because they're so boring. So that's how he describes them. But when he said it, I was like, yo, it's kind of fire.
Yeah.
You know? And so I had the idea to take a fisheye into that Amoeba elevator because it's super tagged up and just looks cool and just like shot a photo in there. And I just haven't put it out yet. And it's still a project in the making.
Yeah. You know?
Well, we're still looking for art for our new thing, so we might just steal that idea. We'll just,
Oh, yeah, I'll invoice you.
Yeah. Yeah.
$4.
Nice.
Yeah, just like buy it.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Buy a print or the NFT, the rights. Could we just, like, just for 2 seconds, because, like, this is such a big thing now in 2023. This is where we fucking met. Can we just plug your NFTs, like, real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Like, what?
Buy them.
Fucking buy them.
Fucking buy them.
And also...
I have no idea where to buy your stuff, and I have not seen a single one of your NFTs. Pornhub.com/TrevorJPhoto. Oh, okay.
Dude, I fucking...
Wait, what about the fucking... the OnlyFans we saw today?
Only Bush?
Paris Bush.
Paris Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tagging her because
we find out. Let me find out. You subscribed. You hit her up and everything.
I did not.
Dude, she's gonna be
very fair price though, for what I know.
She's gonna be on the podcast. She's
okay. Okay. Aside from that, sorry. Where can we find your NFTs?
Okay, so regardless of NFTs, you can find everything at trevorjphoto.com. I just finally put together my website because I was kind of over Instagram. I was over Twitter, and I was like, you know what? You know what made me want to start doing it, actually, is, like, you posted a photo to Instagram that you're like, I know this will get likes and shit, and it does, and you're like, wow, that worked. Like, that's kind of a lame photo that just people on Instagram like. But then you post something that, like, you're like, fuck yeah. Like, how you're saying, like, it's some raw shit, like, that it to me is like, this is really defines me as an artist.
Yeah.
Crickets. Yeah. So I was like, fuck this. Like, I'm just going to, like, make my own portfolio and, like, post little blog posts about what I like and shit. Yeah. Like, I'll probably do something about my New York trip on my own website.
Yeah.
And I got, like, people subscribed, and, like, they get a little email, and they might get, like, some deals on prints and shit like that. So, yeah, trevorjphoto.com. You can find the NFTs on there, too. I got a store. Got everything going on there.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Zen Prairie Project. Make sure to follow the Zen Prairie Project on Instagram. Leave us a review for any of the episodes that you liked, and consider sharing this with a friend that might be interested in this sort of show. We'll see you next time.